We continue our learning. We are in Adios, Perakei Mishnah Vav. Akavya ben Mahalalel heyedarba advarim. Kavya ben Mahalalel testified about four areas of halacha. Amulo Akavya chazorbach barba advarim shahayisa omer. V'nascha av beizdin liYisrael. So the Chachamim said to him, if you retract because you argue with us, this is your position against the majority, and if you retract your position in these four areas of halacha, we'll make you the Av Beis Din. Av Beis Din, the head of Sanhedrin was the Nasi. Av Beis Din was the second to the Nasi. So we'll make you the Av Beis Din of the Sanhedrin. Amar Lahem. So Rakavia's response was Mutov Lishli Karei Shota Kol Yomai. Better that I be called Shota, an idiot, my whole life. But not to be a Russia, even for one moment, in front of Hashem. So people don't say about me, he retracted only because of a position of authority. What he really meant was that, number one, I don't want to be a Russia in front of Hashem and retract against something that I have a tradition for. According to my tradition, the majority of the rabbis ruled the way I'm ruling. So I can't retract if I can't go against the Rov. You may have a different Mesorah, but this is my Mesorah, and therefore I can't go back on that. And number two, even if there's reason for me to retract, and I won't be a Russian in front of Hashem, nonetheless, I'm not going to retract simply because you're offering me to be the Av Beis Din. People will think that I'm retracting for ulterior motives. So therefore, I wouldn't retract even if there were reason that I had the right to. So the Mishnah now tells us these four areas of halacha where Akavya ben Mahalalel argued on the Chachamim. Number one, who haya mitame sa'ar hapekuda v'dam hayarok v'chachamim v'chachamim mitarin. He ruled that sa'ar hapekuda, which we'll explain in a moment, and dam hayarok, and literally in green blood, are tame, where the chachamim said that they are not. So number one, what's sa'ar hapekuda? So this is discussed in Maseches Nigoim, where Parakei Mishnah Gimel, which is all about the halachos of tzaras, and there the Mishnah says like this, Ezehu sa'ar pekuda. What's considered this sa'ar pekuda? Misha ha'isa b'baheres. A person had a baheres. This is a nega tzaras. He has a white mark of tzaras on his skin. Ubaseir alavon. And we know that baheres alone is not the tumah, but it has to have a white hair inside. So here we have a baheres. We have the white mark of tzaras. And this seir alavon, this white hair inside that circle inside the tzaras, so that the Mishnah there says halcha habaheres hivihinicha l'se'er lavan bimkomo v'chazra. So what happens now with the baheres leaves? And now the Se'er Lavan remains. So and now a new baheres comes. So no doubt there was tumah before, but would I consider this tumah now? After all, usually what happens is in order to have tumah when it comes to negoim, when it comes to tzaras, there needs to say first to be baheres, this the very bright white mark on the skin, and then a se'ar lavan appears. That is considered, that's the way the Torah describes it in Parashat Tazria, that's a sign of tumah. But if the white hair precedes it, that the white hair is there first, and then you have a baheres, that's not a sign of tumah. But here there was a Se'er Lavan there already, where there was a Baheres, and then a Se'er Lavan, and now the Baheres leaves, and now there is another mark of Tzaras that appears with the Se'er Lavan already there. This Se'er is called Sar HaPekuda, like a Pikadon, like a deposit. I mean, it's been there already. So what's the status of this new Baheres? So Akavya ben Mahalalel said, this is a Siman Tuma. For the Baheres that returns is considered Tuma because there's a white hair inside. You'll say, what do you mean? The white hair only came, the white hair was there before the Baheres. The white hair has to come after the Baheres. So why is this a Siman Tuma? Why is this considered Tzaras that's Tuma? So the answer is, Bakavia says, although the pasuk says vihi hafcha se'or lavan, it has to be where the baheres is the one that turns it into a white hair, so to speak, meaning the baheres is there first, and then this se'or lavan appears, and if it would be the opposite order, where the Seir Lavan was there first and then the Baharis, it wouldn't be Tameh. Now, thus, Akavya says, Sa'ar HaPekuda, where the Sa'ar is a deposit, it's a Pekudon, it's already been there, it's going to be Metameh, even though it was there before the Baharis, because there obviously was a Baharis there before. And this is a sign that the Baharis really, maybe the original Baharis never really left, and it's the original Baharis that continues to be there. Or we simply say, since the first Baharis turned the Seir into a Seir Lavan, meaning it was there first, the Baharis, then the Seir Lavan, so the second Baharis that comes as well, we can consider that a Simon Tumah. So that was where the Kavya says, Sa'ar HaPekuda, that hair that preceded the second Baharis is Tameh, and the Chachamim disagreed. What's Dam HaYarok? Dam HaYarok really means yellow, a yellow sign, and the color of like an Esrog. But Kavya says that's considered Dam Nida. You see that on a cloth, let's say. We assume that that is considered Dam Nida, just that the color changed a little bit, but it really was blood, and therefore a woman, we have to be concerned. If that's if she sees that color, that would be, we have to consider it as if it were red. The Chachamim Tarech, our Chachamim say, no, that's not true. Sar Pekuda is not Tameh, and Sar Yarok, and Dam Yarok is not Tameh. Sar Pekuda, as we obviously, is because the Baharis has to precede the hair, and here the hair preceded the Baharis. And the fact that there was a Baharis there before doesn't matter according to the Chachamim. What about Adam Yarok? According to Chachamim, the only color that we have to be concerned with is that's Dam Nida is red. We don't have to worry that yellow was really red and now it became brownish and yellowish. That we don't have to worry about. Halacha, so those are two halachos, Sar HaPekuda and Dam HaYarok. Now halacha number three, where Akavya disagreed with the Chachamim. Hu haya matir sa'ar b'chur ba'almum shenashar v'hinicho b'chalon v'achar kach shchato. Just translate, he would permit the hair of a b'chur, a firstborn animal, which had a mum, which had a blemish, the hair that had shenashar had fallen off, and he placed it in the window, and then he shechted in the animal. So this is based on a Mishnah in b'chur, Paragimel Mishnah Dalad, and a little background to the halacha of Bechor, which mentioned a little bit in the past. Pasuk says, Kol ha-Bechor asher yivaled b'vkarcha uvitzonecha ha-zachar, any firstborn animal, takdish la-Hashem Elokecha, is considered kadosh, has to be brought as a korban. Lo sa'avod b'vkar shorecha, lo sa'goz b'vkar tzonecha. You're not permitted to work the animal, you're not permitted to shear the animal, because it's kodesh la-Hashem, and therefore it's asher ba'avoda uvigiza, and it's a mitzvah to give it to the Kohanim. If it's a tam, a shor, if it's a bechor that's a tam, that's without blemish, so it's brought as a carbon, we eat it in the, has to be, it's eaten by the Kohanim within the walls of Yushalayim. It's kachim kalim. If it's a bechor baal mum, we don't bring it as a carbon, but the Kohen, it belongs to the Kohen. The Kohen is able to shecht it, and he can eat it anywhere. It doesn't have to be eaten in Yushalayim. It can be eaten b'toras chulin. It's not kadosh in that sense, and he's even allowed to sell it and get hana from the tzemer, from the shearing, or from the skin of the animal, it's considered the Mamon Kohen. But while the Bechor is still alive, even if it's a Baal Mum, we say you're not allowed to shear it. The hair, you're not allowed to shear if it's a sheep, let's say, the wool, because there's a mitzvah to eat the Bechor. And that's true whether it's a Tam or a Baal Mum within its first year. And if we allow you to shear the animal, we're afraid, this is all Gzera D'Rabbanan, we're afraid that the Kohen is going to hold on to the animal and keep it with it beyond the year for the purpose of shearing it. He won't shecht it within the year. Once you shech the animal, so then it doesn't matter. Then the Kohanim are able to get hana from the skin of the animal, from the geese of the animal. What is the end? But if, let's say, he violated this halacha and the wool was shorn while the animal was still alive, then the tzemer, that those shearings are asur bahana. And that would be true even if you didn't shear the animal, but any hair that happens to fall off is asur bahana. So our Mishnah is dealing with a case where we have, that's the background. We have a Bechor Baal Mum. So Bechor Baal Mum is not a korban, and the Kohen is able to eat it. He's able to, but nonetheless, there's still this Gzera D'Rabbanan that we want him to eat it within its first year. And therefore, while it's alive, he should not be shearing it at all. Not only that, he shouldn't even be using the hair even if it falls off. So here we have a case where the Bechor was a Baal Mum and hair fell off while it it was still alive, and the Kohen took the hair and put it in a window, meaning in a hole in the wall, in order that he guard it. And so he knows he's not supposed to use that right now, and now he's going to shech the Bechor. So Akavdim Nahalal says, the same way the Shechita permits the Bechor, and the Tzemer, and the shearings, the wool that's on it, so too it permits Bahana, you're able to get Hana from the hair that fell off when it was alive, because it fell off on its own, and you didn't shear it. If you did the shearing of the animal while it's alive, then even after you shecht it, you can't use it. But if it fell off by itself, although I'm not allowed to use it when the animal's alive, because I want to, as we said, you don't want it to gzeret, that you may keep the animal around more than a year, and you want with the halachas, we want to try to eat that bechor within the year. Even a bechor baal mum, we want to try to have the kohanim eat it within a year. That's if you did the shearings yourself. So the hair you took off yourself. So then you're not allowed to use the tzasa bahana even after you shecht it. But if it fell off on its own, although I shouldn't get a benefit from that while the animal's still alive, after the animal shecht it, so then since it fell off on its own, I have no problem with using it, getting hana from it. That was the opinion of Akavya. But Chachamim Osim, they say that Chachamim made gzeira even on hair that fell off from a bechor ba'amum while the bechor was alive, even though you didn't cut it off yourself, we're afraid you're going to push off the shechita because, okay, maybe more hair will fall off and I'll gather a lot of hair over the next few years and then you won't end up shechting it within the year. So therefore, even hair that fell off is not permitted to be used for benefit even after you shecht it. That's the opinion of the Chachamim against the Kavya. So that is halacha number 3. Who are you, Meir? Halacha number 4. What did Kavya say? Ein mashkin lo es hagiores velo es shivcha hamishuchar. He says that the laws of Sota, where we give the Sota, this woman who were afraid was disloyal to her husband, so in this case, we're not exactly sure, but she's perhaps unfaithful. She certainly was kinui and stira, as we've learned in Masecha Sota. The husband warned her not to seclude herself with this person, and in fact, she did. So we give her to drink from the Sota, May Sota. So we don't give that to a giyores, a woman who's converted, or a shifcha mishuchares, or a non-Jewish slave who was now freed, who becomes Jewish. Why is that so? Based on the fact that the pasuk says daberel b'nei Yisrael in Parshas Sotah and Parshas Naso, and b'nei Yisrael, we learn from there, b'nei Yisrael v'lo gerim, that excludes these people, the giyores and the shifcha mishuchares. And some say, based on the pasuk, yitain Hashem osach la'olah v'lishvua b'soch hamech. Oh, it's going to be a curse for you, the Torah says, also in Parshas Naso, Besoch Hamech, to you who were amongst your people, the Geras and Meshucharas are not considered Besoch, Besoch Hamech, Besoch Haman. That's Rakavi's opinion. If we have a case of a Sota, and even though she's a Geras or a Shishcham Meshucharas, we give her from the Maim Aham Ararim. Why don't they learn from the Pasuk? It says B'nei Yisrael or Besoch Hamech. So they say, because the pasuk says va'amarta alehem, and that includes that phrase comes to include everybody. It says after all, it says v'shachav ish osa, where so this is the concern that we have of the woman who's the sota, and we learn from there ish sheshchivaso osrasa ba'ala mekanelo mashke osa. The Yerushalmi sota says very simple, v'shachav ish osa teaches us that any time you have a woman who's having an affair would now prohibit her from living with her husband, so then that's a problem. So then you drink the mesota. So a woman is a giyores or a shivcha mishucharis, or a woman who was slave and now is freed and is now a Jewish woman married to a man, so that's a real marriage, a full-fledged marriage. And what would happen, whatever happens in a regular Jewish marriage, happens here if she had an affair. So therefore the laws of sota should apply. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. So Amulo, the Chacham sent to Akavya, Maisa, I'll prove to you that we give Mesota to a Gioris. Maisa Bekar Kemis, or Shivcha Mishucharis. Maisa Bekar Kemis, Shivcha Mishucharis. Shoyse Bishalayim, Vishkuha, Shmai Vavtalion. The case of Kar Kemis, that may have been her name, maybe it's the city she was from, and she was a Shivcha Mishucharis. She was an emancipated slave woman who lived in Yerushalayim, who was a Sota, and Shmai and Vavtalion, who were the heads of the Sanhedrin, they gave her Mesota to drink. So you see that we do give Mesota to this woman who was unfaithful to this, even though she was a Shifcha who had been emancipated. Amar Lahem, Akavia said, no, that you can't bring a proof from there. Dugma Hishkuha. They gave her Dugma. Dugma means like an example. What does that mean? So different opinions what that means. One is Dugma means, oh, I'll tell you why. This woman was like a Gioress, and so were Shmaya and Avtalio. Oh, you know why they gave her to drink from the Mesota? To show that Gerim should be considered important. They wanted to feel important amongst the Jewish people. They were Gerim themselves, Shmaya and Avtalion, or the teachers of Hillel and Shammai, but they themselves were Gerim or converts. So therefore, since this woman was a Gioras, was a Shivcha B'Shucharas, was like a Gioras, they gave her to drink as well, so that the Gerim are considered Chashev amongst the Jewish people. But this was not because the Halacha demanded this woman to drink. That's what I mean, Dugma Hishkua. They were in a Dugma, like they were. And it was Dugma. This was just an example to show the Jewish people that just like they were Gerim, they wanted the people, Jewish people to understand that Gerim should be treated properly. And that's why they gave it to drink, even though Halacha did not demand it. And others explain that Dugma Hishkua means they gave her Dugma. They gave her just an example, meaning it wasn't really a Mayim Hamarim. They didn't really take the Parsha, which they're supposed to write on a cloth and throw it into and put it into the water where Hashem's name is erased. They didn't do that over here. Rather, they wrote something else on there and erased it in the water. It wasn't in order to instill a little bit of fear that this woman should, this Shifcha Meshuchreres, should admit to her wrongdoing, but it's not because they really erased Hashem's name and really gave her Meisota. So after these four cases, the Dam HaPekuda and Dam HaYarok, which Akavya said were Tamil Chacham Senator, the fact that Akavya said the Sa'ar of the Bechor Baal that fell off while the animal was alive, and the guy put it in the window, and then Shech the animal, he said it's mutter, they said it's going to be usher. He who said the you don't give Mesota to the Gioras and Shivcha Meshuchares, and the Chachamim said, oh, you do. And they tried to bring a proof, and he said, that's not a proof at all. Vini duhu, they excommunicated him. The Mishnah says, they put Chayim Chayim because he was Mizalzel in this last case in the cover of Shmaya Avtalion. There's a Zilzel. Either way, you describe what Dugma means. Hishkua is considered a disgrace to these great leaders, the heads of the Sanhedrin. Certainly, according to the first interpretation, it is saying, they wanted to give, they were Gerim, and this woman was a Gioris, so they wanted to do something to a Gerim or a Chashev. That certainly is Zilzul. But even according to the second opinion, he's suspecting them that they didn't follow the halacha, that they went through this whole ceremony and didn't really erase Hashem's name. That's also, and it really wasn't going to be checking her properly. So that also was reason for them to put him in Chayim. Umeis bini duyo. And he died. He never was released from that cherem, from that excommunication. Visaklu based in his arono. And Bezdin put a, literally, skila. They stoned his arono, which means they put a stone on top of it as a reminder that he was excommunicated on his coffin. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, chas v'shalom she'akavya nisnada. Now, chas v'shalom, you got it wrong. Wasn't a Kavya ben Halal that was excommunicated? How do I know? Shein Azara nil Elis b'fnei kol Adam Yisrael b'chochma u'v'yirascheit ka Kavya ben Halal. Brings us to Yonah Dioma of the Korban Pesach. They came to the Korban Pesach, and every Pesach, the Azara filled of Jewish people. There were three different groups that came into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Azara, to have their animals, their Korban Pesach shechted. And in the time of the Kavya, there was not a greater person in the entire Azara, greater in Yerashchet and Chachman than Akavya ben Halalel. It's impossible that such a great person was excommunicated. Vesmi nidu. Who then did they excommunicate? Meaning, who was Mizalzel in a halacha where the Chachamim put him in Cherem? A different person completely, and a different area of halacha completely. It was Eliezer ben Chanoch. What did he do? Shepik make patar ras yadayim. He was Mizalzel, the halacha of Yadayim. What was the halacha of Yadayim? The fact that the Chachamim said that your hands Come tummy separate from your body. Usually you look at the whole body as a whole. If the body is tummy, the whole body goes to the mikvah. You're telling me that in certain circumstances, the hands become tummy, but the rest of the body doesn't come tummy. And what do? We wash our hands. So we have to retire our hands, whether we put them in the mikvah, or we maybe do wash in the tilas yadayim. Eliezer ben Chanoch made fun of that halacha. So they put him in cherem. And when Eliezer ben Chanoch died, sholuchu beizdin v'hinichu evan arano. They sent, beizdin sent a message, and they placed a rock, a stone on his coffin. Malamed shekalam is nada umes minidio. You see, from here, anyone who's excommunicated and he dies while still excommunicated, never released from that, soklin as arono, he put a large stone on his aron. So according to the first understanding, Tanakama, this happened to Akavdim and Mahalalel. According to Rabbi Yudah, no, it was Eliezer ben Chanoch. Perakei Mishnah Zayin. B'shas misa so omar levano. When Akavya was about to die, he said to his son, Chazor bini, Chazor bach barba devam shayisi omar. I want you to retract your position, even though it's the tradition that I taught you in our family, nonetheless, and I got that from my rebbeim, from the majority of my rebbeim, nonetheless, I want you to retract and not continue to follow that position. So, Amalo, v'lamalo chazar tabach, why didn't you retract yourself? Amalo, so Akavya said to his son like this, ani shamati mipi amarubim, v'im shamu mipi arubim. I heard the halachos in these areas from a majority of my rabbis, and they, the chachamim, were arguing with me, heard from a majority of their rabbis. So, I stood by my tradition. And they had to stand by their tradition. We follow the majority. But you, my son, you don't have that tradition from a majority of rabbis. You're only hearing it from me. I'm a yachid, I'm a minority opinion. And the majority of the rabbis disagree with me. And therefore, mutav lahaniach divra ha-yachid le'echos v'dir ha-merubin. See, this conduct of humility, it's proper, and that's what the halacha demands of you. If it's better that you leave the words of a yachid of mine, says Akavya to his son, and hold tight to the words of the majority. Amalo, abba pakeid alai l'chaverecha. His son said to him, "Paked alai means, can you ask your, make a request, plead with you, the chachamim, that they will treat me respectfully and they'll bury me properly?" Amalo, eini mefaked. He said, "No, I'm not demanding anything of them." Amalo, shema ila matzasa bi. Have you found? Is there any reason why I should be guilty in your eyes that you don't want to tell the chachamim they should treat me properly in my lifetime and after I pass away? Is there an avla? I did something wrong. Amalo. So his father Kavya said to him, "Love, no, I didn't find anything wrong in your behavior. But nonetheless, I don't need to tell the chacham to treat you properly in your lifetime and in your passing. You know why? Because ma'asecha yikaravucha u'ma'asecha yirachakucha." Very powerful statement. Your ma'asim will bring you close to them, and your ma'asim will distance you from them. That's the way you behave. You behave properly, they will bury you properly, give you the proper respect. And if you don't behave properly, so then they will distance you.